New Yorker writer Susan Orlean is a New York Times bestselling author of The Orchid Thief and The Library Book, and has been hailed as a national treasure by The Washington Post. Her latest, Joyride, is a memoir of finding her creative calling and purpose that invites us to approach life with wonder, curiosity, and an irrepressible sense of delight. It is infused with Orlean's signature warmth and wit, and is certainly a must-read for anyone who hungers to start, build, and sustain a creative life. Again, the title of the book is Joyride, and it's an absolute thrill to welcome Susan Orlean to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm delighted to be with you.
You and I are going to be in conversation on November 17th. It's a Monday and a Northshire Bookstore event at Skidmore College in Saratoga at 7 o'clock, and we'll be talking about the book, and I'm very much looking forward to that, and people can find out more by going to northshire.com, and I'll give that out at the end as well. Has this been, writing the book is one thing. Have you enjoyed the process of talking about it and expressing and I would think even instructing, in a sense, these ideas that you put forth in Joyride?
It's been a real pleasure. It is a very different book for me because I normally am writing about topics outside of myself. So this is very new for me, and as a result, it's kind of thrilling. I also think that part of the point of the book was talking about the value of curiosity, whether you want to be a writer, whether you just want to be more engaged in the world. This was my manifesto, so to speak, about the way curiosity has sort of guided me through my entire career and has really never disappointed me. And it's a way of kind of being in life in a more engaged way. And that's been really nice to talk about to people, to take the principles that have guided my life as a writer, but also talk about how they really exist more generally as ways to sort of look at the world.
Is curiosity something we're born with, or can you craft it within yourself?
I think you can practice at it and get better at it. I do think some people are simply born more curious than others. That's just, I think, reality, that there's a turning inward versus turning outward that seems innate. I really believe you can get better at it, and you can deliberately train yourself to be more open and more curious. I do it professionally. I mean, I have to. That's my job as a journalist, is to observe the world with that extra element of curiosity so that I can find stories, I can approach strangers. You know, that's what I do for a living. But I think that you can train yourself to engage in that a little more in your own life as well.
Let me bring you to a classroom on the campus of Bennington College. About 2 years ago, I'm teaching a course on interviewing, and I'm talking to a student who has just done an interview, and I'm reading the interview, and I ask the question to the student, why didn't you ask this follow-up? Why did you not ask them about this fairly major thing that they discussed? And the student looked at me and said, because I didn't really care.
Oh, well, oops.
and suddenly I thought of that as I was reading your book, because what do you think it makes it about you that you care, that you want to know, that you want to find out what the next thing is? Because that is curiosity.
Right. Well, I'm nosy. I want to know. And I think some of that is, frankly, it's not about you. It's about who you're interviewing. And if someone says, yeah, I took out a gun and shot him, you would feel that your instinct would be to say, oh, well, why? Tell me more. And it feels, I mean, the stakes are not always that high in a conversation, but again, this is something that I think you have to practice it and train yourself to have that interest in, well, what comes next in this conversation. I do think if you're someone whose answer to that is, well, I just don't care, you're probably in the wrong profession. I
That's,
think
I think that's
that
what we determined in the end, yes.
yeah. For sure. And I think that writers, journalists, that we're nosy and we do want to know that we care to know the next part of the story.
So this is a memoir, this is narrative nonfiction. Are you as nosy about yourself? Are you as curious about yourself and your practices?
Well, it's a great question because I did have to actively push myself to apply that same level of curiosity to my own life because, as you say, the book is a memoir and it does trace my path through the somewhat through my childhood, but really focusing on my professional life. I really needed to figure out how to engage my own curiosity about myself. I mean, one of the problems is you think you know everything about yourself. So it's a lot harder to have that same sense of curiosity about your own life to ask, well, then what happened? Then why did you do that? What did you do next? What I did as part of the effort to engage my curiosity is I hired another journalist to interview me and to put me in the position of being the subject so that I could hear my responses and have it feel the way it feels for me when I'm interviewing subjects. It was a really interesting process. I think it was the key to me unlocking that curiosity about myself.
One of the things that I love about the book is it brings us to a time that doesn't really exist in journalism anymore, of working for the publications that you worked for, the personalities that you worked for. There is a nostalgia there of this wonderful time that allowed you to ply your craft.
Without really realizing it, I was documenting an era of the magazine world that, and also the world of alternative news weeklies where I got my start, the world of Sunday magazines that were very instrumental for my growth as a writer. Without realizing it, I felt like, in retrospect, I was documenting a bygone era. And the reality is that I was sort of shocked when I realized how many of the places that were important to me in my career are gone.
Yeah.
And that era is, I don't want to say, you know, the magazine world is over because it's not, but this robust, thriving world of magazines that I kind of entered in that period is just not the same.
And yet in working in sort of in working with the New Yorker, you still have an opportunity to be a part of some of what is left.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I really hesitate to say it's about a bygone era. There are still great magazines, and the New Yorker is as vibrant as it's ever been. And the introduction of websites has actually expanded what the New Yorker publishes each week by a huge amount. So I get a little worried saying, oh, this is a nostalgic book, but there's an element of it you cannot deny. I mean, alternative news weeklies, with a few exceptions, are just gone. And that
Right.
was a really formative part of my coming up as a journalist.
Well, the publications certainly, the readers too, they've changed. Their habits have changed.
No question. Absolutely no question. And I think it's been well documented that people's attention spans have changed. The way people consume news has changed radically. Newspapers have, even though my career wasn't really in the newspaper world as much, we've seen an absolute slaughter of newspapers around the country. People read differently now. There's just no denying it.
And when it comes to book writing, you still enjoy that process.
I do. It's really tough. It's really hard to write a book. It's a lot of empty space that you're filling, and it is sustaining a one-way conversation for over the longest dinner party in human existence. You're kind of holding forth at the dinner table to your readers for many, many hours. That's a big challenge. It's a lot of work to write a book. Luckily, people are still consuming books, although interestingly, they're consuming them in different ways. When I first started as a writer, audiobooks barely existed. They were mostly for visually impaired people. I mean, it was not a popular way to consume literature. Now, audiobooks are an enormous part of the
Right.
business. It's a huge part of publishing. Ebooks, they're just many different ways that people read, quote unquote. And that's a really interesting sort of change in the way people consume a book. I've had so many people already say to me, oh, I did it as an audiobook. And I did the narration of the audiobook. So I feel like, oh, well, that I was talking to you for many hours. I hope it sounded good.
Absolutely. I've listened to it and it does. It sounds wonderful. The new book is Joyride. It is out from Avid Reader Press, and Susan Orlean will join me in discussion in Saratoga Springs at Skidmore College for a Northshire Bookstore event. It's Monday, November 17th at 7 p.m., and you can find out more information by going to northshire.com. Northshire.com. Susan Orlean, I can't wait to talk to you, talk about the book, and talk to your readers as well.
I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Joe.
It's always such a pleasure. Talk soon. Be well. Again, Susan Orlean's new book is Joyride. It is published by Avid Reader Press. She will join me in conversation at a Northshire Bookstore event on Monday, November 17th at Skidmore College at 7 p.m. You can find out more information by going to northshire.com. Northshire.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.